The views expressed by host and their guests on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, its advertisers, or its employees. And now, Grassroots Radio with Don and Jim.
Die quickly. That's right. The Republicans want you to die quickly if you get sick.
You know, do me a favor. Could you say Senator instead of ma'am?
Yes.
It's just a thing. I worked so hard to get that title. So I'd appreciate it. Yes, thank you.
And guess what this liberal will be all about? This liberal will be all about socializing, will be about basically taking over and the government running all of your companies.
I want to be a liberal, so.
To tell you things are bad.
Everybody's out of work or scared of losing their job.
Dollar buys a nickel's worth. Banks are going bust.
And now, Grassroots Radio with Don and Jim.
All right. Welcome to Grassroots Radio. It's actually just with Don today. Jim, unfortunately, is out. His son took a pretty bad fall and is actually in the hospital. So, Jim, our thoughts and our prayers are with you and your family, and I hope Danny does okay. I know that we had spoken, and you said that he was doing all right. But pretty much the show's up to me today, and kind of wanted to set the stage. We've talked about different ways that the government has infringed on our rights. In today's show, we're going to talk about that as well, in the sense that our Fourth Amendment rights, the right to the search and seizure of our homes as far as having a search warrant is going to be the topic of our show. We're going to bring on a special guest to talk about that. But again, let me set the stage. Just imagine that you're in your home sleeping peacefully in your bed. Then around 6 a.m. in the morning, you're awoken to the sound of someone trying to break down your front door. You look out your bedroom window and you see what looks like a SWAT team on your front porch, some 14 or 15 police officers trying to enter your home. They manage to break down your door. Then they find you, force you to the ground with no explanation, put the knee or your or a knee into your back, handcuff you, and then lead you off to a car so that they can begin searching your home. Now, during this search, they discover that you've got children in your home. You know, this gentleman had three children who were sleeping soundly before these guys arrived. They found each one of these kids, escorted them out of the house, and put them in the back of the police car. Again, no explanation what's going on. So that kind of sets the scene of what we're going to talk about today and some of the abuses that are happening. But this actually happened in the state of California, and it was a gentleman that where a warrant was executed by the Department of Education. And let me just go to play this quick clip that kind of gives a little bit more background on this. Hang on 1 second. Here it comes. Wait a second. Wait for it.
Hi, Rich Hoffman, CEO of Jackson Rancheria. Play splash ball, win cash, tickets to the Stockton Ports, or even a trip to the World Series. Rancheria style.
Apologies.
A lot of new information to report this morning surrounding the federal raid of a Stockton man's home. This is a story generating a lot of buzz around the web. It happened about... A lot of new information to report this morning surrounding the federal raid of a Stockton man's home. This is a story generating a lot of buzz around the web. It happened about 6 on Tuesday morning. Kenneth Wright says that federal agents entered his home and held him for 6 hours while they searched the house. Agents from the Office of the Inspector General served the search warrant, and Wright says he thought the warrant was related to some defaulted loans. We tried 5 times to reach someone from the federal government who could give us details about the raid yesterday. All we heard last night was that the Department of Education did execute the search warrant, but wouldn't offer details about the raid. Well, finally this morning, Education Press Secretary Justin Hamilton gave News 10 additional information about the search. Hamilton saying that it was not related to those loans, but he wouldn't say why the search was executed. They did add that the Inspector General's office does execute warrants for criminal offenses, including ones related to student aid fraud or embezzlement of federal money. We'll have much more on this story later today on News 10 and News10.net.
So that kind of sets the scene of what we're going to talk about. We're going to go ahead and bring on our guest. Joining us today is the attorney of this man, Kenneth Wright. His attorney name is Mark, and I'm going to have Mark help me with his last name. Mark, are you there? Welcome to the show, Mark.
I'm thrilled to be on the show, and the last name is Reichel.
Reichel, okay, great. Mark. Okay. So could you kind of describe what actually happened here?
Sure, absolutely. Let me tell you, Kenneth Wright was sleeping. He has three kids. Actually, Kenneth Wright is an incredibly stand-up guy. He's, you know, mid-30s. He's never even been arrested before. He's attempted community college. He actually was in the U.S. Navy for a small period of time. You know, he's a high school graduate. He came from a rough area of Oakland, actually, and Ken Wright never had a problem at school. He worked after schools as a carpenter. He worked after school doing odd jobs. He never got in much trouble. He's small of stature. He's a small little guy. He actually likes doing stand-up comedy. He's got a smile from ear to ear, and he's probably one of the nicest guys I've ever met. So he met this gal. She already had two children from a prior marriage. Their dads weren't overly involved in their lives. Of course, he marries her because he's got such a big heart. They have another child together. So there are three kids living there, and his ex-wife, because he filed for divorce, and I think it was finalized, wasn't around as much. And Ken is, like I said, a stand-up guy, and he's raising these three kids. 6 a.m, yes, the pounding on the door by 15 armed officers with all the SWAT gear and the raid gear and, you know, loaded shotguns, which everyone knows.
That'll wake you up.
Well, they have a white scatter, too. And, you know, it's clearly, you know, when you got these shotguns, it's for white scatter. It's for shooting everything, you know.
Right.
So anyway, the whole neighborhood wakes up. The people right next door had their screen window open. They immediately got their own kids under the bed and were telling everybody to get down, get on their couches, and get on their beds.
So Mark, was there a weapon that was actually discharged to open that door?
No.
Okay.
They use their feet.
Oh, gotcha.
So these are federal agents with the Department of Education. We'll get to that in a minute. So they, you know, they're saying, open the door, open the door. And every time Ken reaches for the handle, the door is exploding because, you know, they're kicking it so hard.
Right.
And he finally stands back and says, I can't. And he has his hands up in the air. They kick the door down and say, get your hands up. He says, they are. And the guy grabs him by the neck, throws him down on the ground, and then drags him out front along the concrete onto the grass, puts his knee into his neck and says, you're not afraid of guns, huh? So you're not afraid of a gun? You're not afraid of guns, huh? You're not afraid of guns? The neighbors witness all of this, by the way.
Wow.
So he has no idea. No one has said anything to him by police officers or anything.
Right.
And so he has no idea if it's like the mafia coming to kill somebody and they got the wrong house, or if it's takeover robbery, but he doesn't have anything.
Well, with that many officers, were there any marked vehicles out in the front at all?
They were parked a little far away so they wouldn't, you know, disturb the house, so to speak, you know.
Gotcha.
But then there was a patrol car there. He did see a patrol car. But then they run inside, of course, and all of us know that before you go in a house, I mean, if I started as a cop today and you and I were going to go in to execute a search warrant, I can guarantee you we do a little investigation about what's inside that house.
Oh, sure.
So, you know, they know what's inside the house. Give me a break. There's 15 of them. They have all the resources of the federal government. So anyway, they go running in looking to execute this search warrant. They've told him nothing, but he does have a knee in his back, and he's told that he's evidently not afraid of guns. And he's deathly afraid of guns, by the way.
Oh, wow.
So anyway, they go inside, and they yell, come on down. Anybody upstairs, come on down. Come on down. And so the young boys wake up. They're 9 and 11. They have their hands up in the air. They're walking down the stairs. They're both crying, by the way, and they're very scared.
Oh, yeah.
And they're screaming, come on down, come on down. They're pointing the shotguns at them. So the kids come downstairs, and then the 11-year-old, who's really bawling, he's the oldest one, he's breaking down. He says, my sister's upstairs. My sister's still upstairs. She's a baby. She's only three. And they go running upstairs, of course, the guns. And they do find the 3-year-old and bring her outside. I don't think she held a gun point, which is nice here. But he is now handcuffed. He's wearing boxer shorts that have been ripped. He's thrown in the back of the police car, and the other three children are thrown back there. It's very cramped. So the 3-year-old sits on the 9-year-old's lap. Ken cannot console his own daughter. He's handcuffed behind his back, and she's crying because she's scared to death.
Right.
And the other officers come, roll down the window a little bit to interrogate the 9 and the 11-year-old, and they say, You don't know where your mother's at? You don't know where your mom's at? You're going to tell me, I'm a peace officer, you're going to tell me you don't know where your mom is at? Come on. Okay, who are her friends? Tell me who her friends are. Where's she at? And the dad is sitting there while the three-year-old is crying. He's handcuffed behind his back. He's naked. So he's not happy. Nevertheless, he's, you know, Kenny is not the kind of guy that is going to express his displeasure.
Sure.
He's going to try to charm you by being smiling and being nice. So they eventually close the door, and they go back.
Hey, Mark, we're going to have to hold on for a quick break. We'll be right back. Stay on with Mark, get more of the details of this. Hang on 1 second, Mark.
Got it.
Welcome back to Grassroots Radio. I'm going to let Michael finish his little ditty here. Well, before we had Attorney Mark, and again, I'm going to have to defer on your name, Mark, get you to pronounce it again, but we had Mark on the line talking about this search of this home of this gentleman, Kenneth Wright, out in California. Let me bring Mark back on, his attorney. Hey, Mark, thanks for being patient and waiting on the line. I'd really appreciate it.
No problem. I'll just say it. So Kenny Wright stayed like that for 4 hours in the back of the police car. No water, not a lot of air, and a screaming baby. And he kept saying, can't the children go to a neighbor?
Oh, yeah.
And at 10:30, 4.5 hours later, the guy still had all their arms out, by the way. It's a small house. You know, you and I went in there and searched, and we looked for Michelle, and we looked for documents. Within about 3 minutes, we'd probably holster our weapons, okay? So at 10:30, they're still running around with a gun, and that's when they let kids go to a neighbor. And Kenny stayed in the back until 12:50. So he spent 4 hours in the back of a police car.
Wow.
He's not charged with a crime. He's not even a suspect in a crime. As I sit here and speak to you today, I'm not a suspect in a crime, and I'm not charged with a crime, and Don, neither are you right now.
Right.
So I don't know why you would have to spend 4 hours handcuffed naked in the back of a police car without water or air if you're not under arrest.
Well,
so
also, Mark, I think you would have thought that if they had that much manpower there, that they were expecting an Al-Qaeda cell of terrorists versus—
That's my joke is— What do they think? Michelle Wright is somehow related to Osama bin Laden or something?
Right.
You know? And so the problem is, I'll just tell you, the reason I'm speaking to you is because I've been a civil defense for 20 years. And 2006, I argued for the United States Supreme Court in a case called United States versus Grubb, G-R-U-B-B-F. And one of the minor things in the case was whether or not when law enforcement knocked on your door, whether they have to show you a copy of the warrant or give you the warrant at either the beginning, in the middle, or at least at the end of the search.
Right.
Because in my case, they really hadn't done that. So it made its way all before the United States Supreme Court. So I spent 6 months studying the issue because I'm a pretty simple guy. I come from a small town. And, you know, I was worried that I was going to be on the national stage in front of guys like Justice Scalia and others, and I didn't want to come off not educated. So I spent 6 months reading everything about search and seizure from Roman times to the Middle Ages, Magna Carta, English common law, and specifically what the status of warrants and homeowners and what officers had to do prior to the adoption of the Fourth Amendment to the United States Constitution.
Okay.
Because Fourth Amendment, it says that all searches must be reasonable, and it says that warrants have to be issued upon probable cause by a neutral magistrate, and they have to describe the place to be searched. But it doesn't necessarily say in the text of it what officers have to do with the warrant at the house. So I found all of the cases before 1789 and before the Revolution of 1776. And most of the colonists were very upset about the fact that the Crown's officers could really just in what was called a writ of assistance.
Right. And they could actually show up on the warrant. On their doorstep, right, and then write that writ of assistance or actually write that, yeah. that search warrant.
Yeah, they would just put a blanket warrant to search everywhere. And, you know, obviously there was William Pitt in 1763 in his great speech about a man called Mrs. Castle. And he just says this thing about, you know, its roof may lean, you know, the shutters may change, you know, the door may be broken, the window may be cracked, and all the elements on earth may enter. But the forces of the crown may not enter without a warrant issued by a judge based on probable cause and so forth. And so by the time the Fourth Amendment was adopted, the reason they didn't put in the text that the officers have to show you or give you the warrant is because it was completely assumed that they had to, because that was the law at the time. So, secondly, I found out, and I was amazed at this in all my research, that when they had the Constitutional Convention in 1789, they really wanted the smallest federal law enforcement possible. In the Constitutional Convention, they locked the doors, they locked themselves in for the summer, and they fought like bloody murder about slavery, about big states versus small states, about how to elect the president, how to court, how to set up the two houses of legislature. And they disagreed so badly. But one thing they completely agreed on, unanimously, is that the federal government had to be very, very small and let the state or the colonies govern themselves. So it's no coincidence that there was no federal law enforcement, you know, throughout until the 1930s. There were just a few federal laws that were federal crimes until the 30s. And then it exploded again in the 50s. And then actually in the 80s. And all of a sudden you had these federal agencies created, the DEA, ATF, FBI, Secret Service. It goes on and on.
Well, that kind of brings up a really important question, Mark, because this video that I watched and some of the information I saw, it almost led me to believe that the Department of Education is the one that served the warrant on this Kenneth and his family. Now,
right.
Now are they the one that created the search warrant and then had federal officers execute the warrant, or how did that actually take place?
No, one of the bad side effects of 9/11 for our liberty is that anyone connected with federal government, any agency, now has the armed teams that can do criminal investigations. So there are Department of Education employees who rarely get the warrant, obviously.
That's insane.
They're going to go out armed to the teeth and, you know, execute search warrants.
Well, and yeah, that just is just a waste of federal resources. As far as, I mean, they've got a federal, the FBI, that whose jurisdiction I think that would fall under. The U.S. attorney in the state has their own police, not police force, but their own people that can execute these warrants. So now you're saying that there's, you know, every federal agency now can now enact their own or execute their own search warrants and have their own armed assault teams come in and break down your door.
Absolutely.
Oh, that's so scary.
It's terrible. The real problem is...
Hey, Mark, hang on. We're getting ready to take another quick break. I apologize. Now I'm going to put you on hold. Thanks for listening to Grassroots Radio. We'll be right back right after these important messages. We'll be right back with Mark.
Expressed by host and their guests on this program do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, its advertisers, or its employees.
All right, welcome back with some Jimi Hendrix. Sorry, jamming the air guitar here. All right, well, we left with a break here where we had Mark Reichel on the phone. Let me bring Mark back on. Hey, Mark, thanks for being so patient on the phone there. Hey, so I guess, you know, we talked about how any agency, I mean, this is a pretty scary fact that any agency now can pretty much execute their own search warrants, and they've got their own armed mobs now that can go and search your homes. But one question that I had that I wanted to get to before I lost you, or at least before you had to go, was first of all, did they actually leave a warrant or a copy of the warrant with Kenneth at all?
Believe me, again, I'll tell you, if you look at this Grubbs case, U-R-B-B-S.
I did take a look at that. Go ahead.
In 2006, I was Grubbs' lawyer, and they said, they don't really have to give you a darn thing. Now, in Grubbs, and just like Kenny Wright the other day, they rip off the tear sheet. It's the cover. It's got a signature by a judge. Says you can search this house. Doesn't say why. Doesn't say under what circumstance or what you're looking for. It's worthless.
Right.
And all sorts of studies show that it's much better for all of us as a society, including law enforcement, if the homeowner knows what's really going on. And here's why. You know, we all hear stories about people bursting in, paying their cops, attacking the people, robbing them, holding a hostage, whatever. Additionally, there's nothing but reports in the literature which show officers come to a house, they're searching it, the homeowner's saying, I'm telling you, you got the wrong house. And at the same time, the bad guys down the street, the house they wanted to search, see the cops, they load everything up in the truck and get out of town. But the cops wouldn't listen to the homeowner. Also, people will not know it's law officers, arm themselves, do whatever, try to climb out of a back window, and get shot. So there's 10 reasons. I just listed three. Why, honestly, except in rare circumstances, you should knock on the door, give them a copy of the warrant that judge signed, let them look at it, and, you know, let them participate and cooperate. It also, studies also show that it's going to help the cops. Because the person, 90% of the time, is going to tell them what this stuff is.
Right.
People say, oh, please don't tear my house apart. You're looking for this. Let me show you where it's at. Now, in this case, they put right in the car, and they trash the house. He has a 3-year-old daughter. She comes back into the house the next day. Because obviously they slept somewhere else that night. Because they were scared of death to go home. She comes into her bedroom, 3 years old. Everything is trashed and thrown all over. Now, I talked to the 9-year-old and told him that, oh, law enforcement is a great career. We should all respect law enforcement. These guys just made mistakes. Because I honestly don't want them to have also carted off that day. The rest of these kids' lives not having respect for law enforcement. Because that's what's going to happen. Unless somebody tells them otherwise.
Well, see, I guess, go ahead. Well, Mark, go ahead.
What the Supreme Court has said is, look, the Fourth Amendment is silent on how to execute a search warrant. Congress has a rule, Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 41, and it's called Manner and Execution of Search Warrant. It doesn't say much, except that the judge must specify whether it's nighttime or daytime, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But clearly, Congress can say that search warrants have to be executed a certain way, except in exceptional circumstances. Do I want them to have to show Osama bin Laden the warrant and give him time to look at it? Of course not. But in a case of low-level student loan fraud suspects, I do want them to do that. So, you can make Rule 41 state that the officers shall, in all circumstances where practicable, where there will be no threat of the officer's safety, provide the homeowner the opportunity to open the door and cooperate with law enforcement, including providing an entire copy of the warrant, not just the fake sheet. Because what's normally attached to a warrant is what they're then looking for. And then another attachment is what the probable cause is, which sets forth the background investigation leading to this.
Give them an entire copy of the warrant. Give them the opportunity to cooperate. And if they're not going to be arrested, that they are free to leave or free to cooperate with the search. But that they can't be handcuffed, you know, and held in a car for 6 hours. Kenny Ray was in a car for 6 hours.
Wow.
First thing in the morning, most people like to use the restroom, by the way.
I would think so.
You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, so Kenny was not comfortable in the back of the cop car. So, that's what can be done. And it's really easy. It cuts across party lines. It unifies us. It's why we created this country, to have at least the rights that they had in England.
Right,
in 1776.
Police have these minimal guarantees.
In England, they have to show you a copy of the warrant.
Well, right. So, I mean, what's the purpose of having the search warrant if they don't actually show you what it is that they're doing? I mean, what's to prevent them from even getting one in the first place then?
Yeah, it gets to the point where why get one?
Right.
You don't have to show it to the homeowner.
But see, that kind of gets into the Patriot Act. I mean, you were talking about Osama bin Laden. Well, I mean, the Patriot Act has kind of bypassed a lot of these laws to begin with. I mean,
you're correct.
I know that they have, and federal agencies have done and executed these sneak and peek warrants, not just the agencies like the FBI, but I've seen the Treasury do the same thing, where they'll execute a sneak and peek warrant where they'll break into somebody's home and search it because they suspect him, but they don't have enough evidence to actually develop a case, so they're basically fishing for evidence.
I will give you an exclusive that no one knows about yet, but we haven't been able to prove it. But I believe Kenny Wright. And Kenny Wright said the strangest thing happened about 3 to 5 months ago. Knocked on the door, and they said they were the cable company. And he used to be employed by a cable company.
Okay.
So they knocked on the door and said, look, the cable is down in the middle of the neighborhood. We've isolated it in your house. We need to come look at it. Kenny Wright opens the door. All the kids stand there. The men come in. They work on the cable for a while. They put a new box in his daughter's room and said, okay, cable's working fine now. And Kenny said, just for the record, it's been working fine for me. They said, well, it's out in the neighborhood. So they said, we put a box in your daughter's room now. You can't use the cable in her room anymore, but everything can work fine.
Oh, wow.
And they said, okay. So when he came home the next day after the search, in this case, he noticed they took a lot of effort to uninstall this box. So he and I called the cable company to ask them, have they ever had a service at his place? And they said no. So we asked them to triple check. So they had a supervisor to look if there'd ever been a request to go to Ken Wright's house and do this work. They are going to give us something in writing that they have never sent anyone to go into his house to fix his cable.
Wow.
So we believe what we just said, Don, in this case, they may have done a sneak peek where they went in, put in monitoring equipment on the computer, and then left. And at that point, it's like a science fiction.
It's in effect, it's a phone tap, except on the internet, and they tap. So here's your problem, Mark, is that the Patriot Act is those warrants are issued in a secret court, and that you can't even disclose, or they can't even disclose to you that there's a warrant, or
right.
What is it regarding. And if you try to reveal that warrant, then you're under arrest for defying the Patriot Act, and they could hold you without any charge, just because.
Which is exactly what King George III was doing in 1776, that a bunch of people would call our fathers. Were pretty upset about. I mean, they were very loyal to England, and they were the farthest thing from violence. But they had to actually take up arms to throw off the most powerful government in the world because of how they were being treated and how their dignities of mankind and their civil liberties were being discarded.
Well, I kind of wanted to bring on my producer real quick because he reminded me of a quote from Ben Franklin. Hey, Charles, could you chime in on that with that quote?
Sure, it's one of my favorites, Don, and it says, Benjamin Franklin says, those who would give up essential liberties for a little temporary security deserve neither security nor liberty.
Yep.
That says it right there. I
very good.
We are giving up our liberties for this.
And we're doing it through the ballot box because we're just allowing it. We don't question our politicians on their real stance on civil liberty. You know, we assume this will protect our rights, but remember, this was supposed to be the smallest centralized federal government in the world in 1789. It's now, you know, gigantic.
Right. Well,
they're involved in every aspect of our life. There's no checks and balances on federal law enforcement. And the reason is, when the country was created, we didn't envision it. If you were to tell, you know, Ben Franklin or Hamilton, Madison, Jefferson, Washington, any of these people, how big federal law enforcement is now and how much it can control your life and how much the federal government can tell you what to do, they would not believe you. They would say, well, there may have been an armed overthrow of the government by some foreign power and caused this totalitarianism, but it would not have happened through the ballot box. And we'd have to tell them, you know, have another sip of your coffee. It happened through the ballot box.
Well, and I think that, you know, what's also helped move us away from and more towards a central government is what's been happening in our courts, too, and the way that the courts have ruled on the Constitution. This ruling of the case that you just had, where it's not required to have any type of search warrant provided to the person being searched.
Here's the thing. If you have the text of the Fourth Amendment, any listener out there, I want to tell you something that'll blow you away. The text of the Fourth Amendment, I don't have it in front of me, but it says this: the right of the people to be secure in their persons, places, and homes against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, semicolon. And no warrant shall issue, except upon probable cause, signed by a magistrate, and describing the place. It doesn't say at all that all homes can only be searched with a warrant.
Right.
It doesn't say need a warrant to search a home.
Hey, Mark, now, we're getting ready to hit another quick break, and I hope to keep you on the line for just another.
Sure.
We got a short more segment to go, but again, we're talking to attorney Mark Reichel, and we'll be right back. You're listening to Grassroots Radio after these important messages from our sponsors. Please stay tuned. All right, welcome back. So we've got attorney Mark Reichel talking about the Fourth Amendment. I'm going to bring him back on to the show. Hey, Mark, thanks for holding through that break. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Don.
Go ahead. You're going to bring up that the case, Groh versus...
Yeah, the case that you can Google, and all the listeners should look up a case just on the Internet. Type in Groh, which is G-R-O-H. So there's one O, even. G-R-O-H versus Ramirez, R-A-M-I-R-E. That's a Supreme Court case from 2004. There are three dissenters from the Supreme Court, which might now have grown to five, which is a majority.
Wow.
Out of nine. There are three dissenters that said, if you look at the text of the Fourth Amendment, which I just read to you on the phone, nowhere in the does it say that you must get a warrant before you search a house. It says searches must be reasonable, and warrant, if they're issued, can only be done by a judge and must describe the place. But it doesn't say no home shall be searched without a warrant. So three judges in the Supreme Court, and they're still on the Supreme Court, and there are probably two more votes with them, which makes it five. Those three said, nowhere in the text of the Fourth Amendment does it state that officers must get a search warrant before they search a home.
Wow.
Therefore, the proposition that a home can only be searched with a warrant. So they doubt that it's constitutional. I read that in preparation for my case, and I wanted to cry because I felt powerless. Because you don't want to live in a world where you pay taxes, you live a good life, and they truly can search your house, throw you in the back of a cop car with no warrant, never having talked to a judge.
Oh, yeah. Do they require these Supreme Court justices to read the Constitution at all? That's just terrible. Well,
there's no separation between Nazi Germany, the Soviet Union, and when it existed, and that type of behavior. So,
right.
And then I wanted to definitely call you guys.
Well, hey, Mark, real quick, I want to bring Jim. Jim is calling in. He's calling in from the hospital or close by. He wanted to call in. So hang on. I've got my producer helping me bring him on. Hey, Jim, I think you're on the call.
Okay.
Mark, are you still there?
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
Well, Mark, the two of y'all, Mark and what we got to do to fix it from here? My phone is messing up. It sounds terrible.
Yeah, we were talking about fixing it. I think that, Mark, you had mentioned the manner and execution.
The best way to fix it is to have Congress take Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 41 and rewrite it and demand that a home cannot be searched without a warrant except in obviously rare circumstances. Like I personally, you know, if it's Osama bin Laden in there, you know, I think you knock once, you kick the door down, right?
Well, don't they have no-knock warrants, Mark?
Yeah, they have no-knock warrants.
So there are exceptions to that, so I don't know that we need to include that in that. But
right. So if you take Rule 41 and rework it so that you have to show the homeowner the warrant at the outset of the search, because then it's a civilized encounter, and you know, the tensions and emotions are reduced between law enforcement and the citizen. The citizen can help if it's the wrong place, if it's issued for the wrong reason. All these things, law enforcement can get that information right away.
Well, great. Hey, Mark, before we get into too much more of that, we've got about a minute left on the show, but I kind of wanted to talk about you real quick, about you're being a lifelong Democrat and all, and that you've come to really appreciate the Tea Parties in America.
I am a lifelong Democrat. I've been a criminal defense attorney for 20 years. Prior to that, I wanted to go to law school because I really believe in civil liberty. And I couldn't be happier about the Tea Party. If they go away, for whatever reason, God help this country. Because they are the only ones who stand up. They're fearless. They speak what's on in their heart. And they're very straightforward. And they've done a wonderful service. And if they leave, like I say, God help this country.
Well, I think they're standing up for the Constitution, and I think they are fearless. I've seen a lot of people have been active in the Tea Party. We've been called racist. We've been called a bunch of different things, but God knows we're standing up for the Constitution and holding our leaders accountable. Mark, I really do want to thank you for taking the time. For everybody who's listening, Mark's on the side of the road here on his cell phone. Mark, I appreciate your call, and I wish you the best of luck with this issue. And for everybody else, thanks for listening to Grassroots Radio, and we'll be back next week. Take care. Thanks again, Mark.
Thanks, Don and Jim.
I'm going to put you on hold.
Join Don and Jim next week for more Grassroots Radio on WMPS The Point.